You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah. The internet is taking over, isn't it? How many times a day do you check your email? How lost do you feel when you're stuck with dial-up? When you look up a word, do you get up, walk to the shelf, find the dictionary, open it, flip pages furiously, or do you just turn to Google? Well, in truth, the question isn't really whether the internet is taking over, because clearly it has, but whether this is a good thing or not. Jonathan Zittrain is one to know. He's an expert on the internet, an Oxford and Harvard professor, and he's just written a book called The Future of the Internet and How to Stop It. Here he is in an edited excerpt on the Colbert Report.
The worry is that now that it has gone mainstream, lots of people have discovered ways to try to exploit it and subvert it. I mean, right now, for example, your PC is capable of running any code it encounters in the world. There's one estimate that there are 250 million computers out there that are so-called zombies. They are awaiting further instructions from unknown, faraway evildoers, and who knows what they'll do some Tuesday morning.
Can we put those people in Guantanamo?
Jonathan Zittrain, welcome to ThoughtCast. Let's start with this assertion about all those zombie computers. It sounds like you don't just fear the future of the internet, but also its potential to wreak havoc today, right now.
I'm amazed in some ways how far we've gotten along without fairly terrible stuff happening at the network level. I think of it almost like the coyote running off the cliff in the cartoon, and he doesn't fall until he looks down. And I feel like our internet infrastructure has gotten to the point, in particular the PCs that are largely attached to it, where it is a wing and a prayer on by which they survive rather than some great security architecture. And that there could be a signal event, a kind of watershed moment of a particularly bad worm or virus or other form of bad code, or just a death of a thousand cuts that has people finally saying to themselves, wait a minute, you know, my refrigerator doesn't collapse, my radio doesn't screw up because I happened to turn it to the wrong station. Why do we tolerate the kind of glitches we do in the PC when we don't see them anywhere else?
Jonathan, there's another concern we haven't spoken about yet. It's about preserving network neutrality, which is, in other words, an internet free of restrictions that can't be controlled by vested interests. Can you define it a bit more clearly and give us some examples?
It means different things to different people. Some examples of what might be seen as a network neutrality problem are when an internet service provider decides to favor some sites over others. So a very powerful website might get an agreement or pay money to an internet service provider in order to get faster, more privileged access to that ISP's customers. It might also be a network neutrality problem if the ISP is looking at the stream of bits emanating from your machine and says, oh, I see, these bits represent file sharing or voice over internet, and these bits represent web pages. We'll favor the web pages over the voice over internet. But when we have our own voice over internet product that you pay us directly for, we'll make sure that stays in the fast lane. Those are also examples of the sorts of worries that have come up from people concerned about net neutrality.
You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah, and I'm speaking with the internet law expert, Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, finally, do you think that the internet, and email specifically, is facilitating, really helping with communication, or hindering it? You yourself have said that email is a wasteland with 90% of it spam.
I think it's right to understand communication as a social and cultural act. So there's plenty of stuff that can be happening that turns out not to be facilitating understanding or tolerance or even, you know, outright, I'm trying to get a message from here to there. On the other hand, it's true that what I celebrate is the so-called polyarchy of it. That the way the internet is constructed, it can still make economic sense for somebody in Somerset County, England, to set up a cheese cam, and people can tune in and watch a wheel of cheddar ripen over a period of 6 months. And it's just a camera focused on the wheel of cheese. And, you know, thousands of people tune in to watch the cheese cam. It's not exactly action-packed, but I like that there isn't some entity in the middle deciding what counts as good communication and what counts as bad. you know, today's cheese cam is tomorrow's prime time application. And the innovation that takes place on whimsical levels often informs the stuff that everybody agrees later is mission critical.
Jonathan Zittrain, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Jonathan Zittrain, an expert on internet law and the author most recently of The Future of the Internet and How to Stop It. If you'd like to leave a comment, please go to our website at thoughtcast.org. I'm Jenny Attia. Thanks for joining us.